saya Nina.
Hai, saya Nabila. Kami The Double N akan bawakan anda suara anak muda dari pelbagai latar belakang menerusi siri Borak Anak Muda menjelang pemutangan bajet 2023.
Cadangan, pendapat, your opinion matters. Kita gerak sekarang.
Assalamualaikum dan selamat sejahtera. Bertemu kembali kita dalam siri Borak Anak Muda. Dan pada episod kali ini, kita akan bincang atau fokus tentang pelaburan. Ya, kita tahu topik ataupun soal pelaburan ini dalam kalangan anak muda, mungkin mereka akan rasakan untuk melabur ini adalah satu risiko yang besar. Jadi mungkin tak ramai yang berani untuk melabur. Jadi untuk bantu kita faham dan bantu lagi kita beri info yang lebih mendalam, sebelah saya ialah Lenis Ng, founder kepada Drop. Apa khabar ni?
Khabar baik. Thank you for having me.
No worries. Yeah. Maybe you can share more about Dropi sebab mungkin ada yang tak tahu dan mungkin ada yang tahu. So share sikit lebih mendalam about Dropi.
So Dropi is a B2B e-commerce marketplace. Kita menolong banyak mom and pop store, kedai runcit untuk mendapatkan barang inventory from the right supplier at the right price. Yeah.
Alright, so Lenis, thanks for sharing the info about Dropi. Tapi boleh share sikit tak apa kepentingan pelaburan ni sebenarnya, especially untuk anak muda yang di usia muda ni mungkin dia akan beri kepentingan pada masa akan datang. So share sikit apa pentingnya pelaburan untuk mereka ni.
Especially for orang anak muda yang is like planning to start their own business, it is so important that they have their own investments or their own savings beforehand. Starting your own business bukan senang.
Yes.
Like you need modal, you need capital to kickstart off, and a lot of times if you're not experienced, it's very hard to get bank loans. So most of the time you need to take from your savings. So it is also important to have this practice of saving or investment dulu.
Betul.
Before you go into it. So that's why it's important.
So mungkin long term, share sikit long term for kepentingan pelaburan ni, apa yang mereka akan dapat dalam masa jangka panjang?
Yeah, I think in the future jangka panjang, they get having more investments allow them to have more opportunities. So I think a lot of times yang orang anak muda, they don't worry about financials, they don't think about their personal finance at the beginning because it's not something that they think is important, you know. But as you grow older, you have more responsibility, tanggungjawab lebih banyak lah.
Betul.
You have rumah, kereta, jaga ibu bapa. So I think it's also important to have that savings or that investments to ensure that your future is secure.
Secure, yeah, bright, secure. Semualah kalau nak kesenangan pada masa akan datang, kita bersusah-susah dahulu.
Yeah.
Right. So macam you yourself dah few years bangunkan Dropi ni. So what are the challenges that you faced along the way?
So a lot of challenges, ups and downs. I think entrepreneurship, usahawan, you know, it's not easy. But I think regarding on investment side, the one of the biggest challenge that we face is looking for the right investors, looking for the right partner to come in and melaburkan and believe in our vision. And I think like when we first started, there weren't many opportunities. But I think along the ways, it's been 5.5 years now, we are very fortunate. Malaysia is getting better. A lot of all foreign investors start to invest in Malaysia juga. So it's a very bright future for the future entrepreneurs of Malaysia.
As for yourself, you started investing
I started this 2017.
Quite a while.
Yeah.
But so how would you macam suggest untuk anak muda di luar sana untuk start investing and in your opinion, why don't they start investing at an early age?
Right. Good questions. Two questions, right? I think to answer your first one, how should they start investing? Maybe first start investing in themselves. Get into the practice and the habit of saving. Because you go out there, you start your first job. I think sedikit, you know the saying, right?
Yes,
sedikit lama-lama jadi bukit. So you start saving little by little until you have enough in your savings to invest in products, other companies or portfolios that you can see. But I think when it comes to alternative investments, sekarang, there's so many options. You have things like Stashaway that does robo-advisory untuk advise what are the right products to invest in. You also have a lot of online trading platforms that this orang anak muda can easily. You don't have to go to a bank. You don't have to go to a broker to talk about it. You can just go online and do it all by yourselves. So I think there's a lot of options today, but the very beginning is to kick off the habit. Can you start investing in yourself? Start saving. And usually I do a rule of thumb, at least you have to save 20% of the income that you take. So at least you know 20% every month will help them grow into 1 year, and you can take this to invest into something bigger and invest something more.
How did you find out things? Mm-hmm. You search ke macam mana?
Search, talk to friends, go visit conferences, understand a little bit more. So I think at the beginning, it's about doing your own research, understanding a bit more. I think it's also important that if you ada, kalau orang anak muda got kawan-kawan kan, that is in finance or in accounting or in banks, talk to them. Ask them, what is the product that your company has today? And just understand or try to understand those a little bit more. So it's the initiative first and just learning. You don't have to invest yet, but just learn. And then you slowly start to pick and choose what's the right one for you.
So basically our own initiative lah kan. Apa-apa pun kita kena start dengan diri sendiri dahulu. But then you know our current situation right now in the economy, the inflation, perang sana sini, perang kat Ukraine. So macam mungkin do you think that all those factors will somehow stop them from macam wanting to invest? Macam takut, buat dia rasa takut. Does that stop you?
Yes and no. So investing on platforms like stock markets, and I probably do less on that. But I think I would ramp up more on savings and also investing in other alternatives, contohnya cryptocurrency or NFTs. So it's actually a trend right now. Orang anak muda, they will see that, oh, what is NFT? Let me try to invest in it. What's cryptocurrency? How do I learn more about it? And they start investing in that. So I think there's a lot of other options today. You don't have to put katanya all your eggs in one basket, right? And savings is not only the option, it's the safest, but it's not the only option, because in savings you have your fixed deposits that you can actually put in, etc. Tapi you can also branch out to other things as well.
Also another thing or another point is they think to start investing ni kena ada banyak modal, banyak duit. So maybe you can bagi tahu dia orang sebenarnya bukan macam tu. Mungkin ada certain amount yang boleh.
You can even start with a few hundred ringgit actually. Right? A little bit. There's a lot of platforms that has no fees, online platforms. You can start investing sedikit-sedikit, and that's why I encourage on savings. You save at least 20%, soon your few hundred ringgit becomes 1,000 ringgit. And then you can use that to invest in the platforms that you prefer or you want to choose. So there are quite a number of them out there. My personal preference is Stashaway. I am not promoting, or I'm not paid to promote Stashaway here, but yeah, it's one of the robo-advisory platforms that actually helps you to allocate and advise you where is the right product for you, depending on your lifestyle and what you want.
It's actually you're helping them to where to start actually. If you mentioned Stashaway, so if any anak muda kat luar sana yang dengar ni mungkin, oh, so I know where to start.
Yeah.
Right? So macam you yourself, before this you mentioned search online kan. But did you ever cari on kerajaan punya
like
initiatives?
Websites, initiatives ada. I think there's a lot of conferences pun bercakap tentang topik-topik like what are the kerajaan doing for the budgets, how do they allocate all of this. And I think for me, the easiest way to understand how to be a part of that is you talk to banks that you prefer, which bank that you like to go to. Because dalam tu ada official advisor, certified advisor, untuk advise kan orang anak muda where to invest. So I think that's also important. Betul. Takkan simply taruh je, yes. It's not good.
Kalau rasa you malas sangat nak search on the sites, you can go to Maybank, Maybank outlets instead of financial advisor. Mm-hmm. So you kata you can just go to them, cakap you punya intention nak invest, they can help you. So at least it's a good start lah.
Yes, and they will come in with a portfolio of suggestions.
Yep.
Ini ada contohnya berapa produk that you can invest in. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Okay. So budget's coming soon. Budget 2023.
Exciting.
So what are kan? So what are you hoping for the next for this upcoming budget in terms of investment untuk anak muda?
I think maybe more options, more interesting, flexible products that they can actually look into. When I say products, we meaning products that banks, local banks can carry. Tapi juga, I mean, I'm also speaking on behalf of you know, entrepreneurs, usahawan kan. I also think that should be a more initiative to help orang anak muda that wants to go into entrepreneurship, so that they can also understand where can they get all these capital. It's not about them investing as well. It's also to see how can they also reach out to get investments juga. And I think ada banyak grant these days, whether it's from Cradle, SME Corp, MDEC, ada banyak kerajaan agencies that has that. But I think it's interesting to see how from this upcoming budget, how much are they going to allocate to increase this entrepreneurship in ecosystem in Malaysia.
Okay, let's talk a bit more about getting investments instead of giving investments from kerajaan kan.
Yeah.
So mungkin ada anak-anak muda sekarang dia boleh nak start out company, but to grow they want some
capital.
Yes, capital, pertolongan lah, bantuan dana. So kongsikan about tu something that macam ramai anak muda try to dapatkan.
Yeah. For us, we had to do a lot of research. We had to talk to a lot of kerajaan agencies to understand what is the right grant yang sesuai untuk kita lah. Because kita buat e-commerce platform, so options are actually quite more available out there. But I think it's also important to go into those agencies, find out the right person, then just set up a meeting and talk to them and understand what's the option. Contohnya, I think like when we first started, we got grant funding dari Cradle dan Teraju. So those two companies actually helped us also to kick off and have more investments to grow the company to where it is today. So 5.5 years later, here we are.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay, banyak dah kita bincangkan tentang pelaburan, especially bersama dengan Lenis Ng, founder of Dropee. Tapi mungkin selepas ni, rakan host saya Nina Rozman akan bincang lebih lagi tentang pelaburan bersama dengan bajet 2023. Jadi kita akan berhenti rehat seketika, kembali selepas ini.
Bertemu kembali dalam segmen Borak Anak Muda bersama saya Nina Rozmanda. Sebentar tadi anda baru saja mendengarkan perkongsian mengenai bagaimana tren pelaburan dalam kalangan anak muda dan cabaran yang dihadapi dalam dunia pelaburan. Jadi kita akan teruskan perbincangan ini bersama tetamu kita pada kali ini, iaitu Wan Dazrik, merupakan Ketua Pegawai Eksekutif kepada ITIS Malaysia. Hai Dazrik, thank you for joining us today. Okey Dazrik, sebelum kita mengulas lebih lanjut mengenai perbincangan kita ini, boleh ceritakan sikit tak? Mungkin ramai yang tak tahu apa peranan ITIS Malaysia ni. Boleh you cerita apa peranan ITIS Malaysia?
Okey, ITIS Malaysia sebenarnya kita sebuah startup dalam industri fintech lah. Fintech di sini di mana kita akan bridge the gap between investors, para pelabur dan juga para usahawan ataupun business lah. So secara amnya kita beroperasi sebagai pengantara ataupun platform kepada rakyat-rakyat Malaysia yang nak invest dan juga para usahawan-usahawan untuk mendapatkan dana.
Jadi Dazrik, is it true that investment perlukan banyak wang dengan pengalaman yang mendalam mengenai risiko dan diorang perlu selalu kerap semak bagaimana prestasi market kita? Is it true?
Secara amnya kurang tepat. Ada dua soalan situ. Yang pertamanya is actually do you need a lot of money? I rasa tak. I think kalau sekarang kalau kita nak buat simpanan, a lot of people dia belanja dulu baru simpan. Kalau kita reverse kita punya prinsip, maybe kalau kita dapat salary tu, maybe 20% of salary tu kita simpan dulu, then remaining tu baru kita belanja. I think that's a good way of to menerapkan apa ni disiplin untuk bersimpan lah, untuk savings. Dari segi investment pelaburan, I think ada dua jenis secara amnya lah. Yang pertamanya actually pelaburan jangka masa panjang, dan yang kedua ni pelaburan jangka masa pendek lah. Kalau jangka masa panjang tu, it's a bit more stable. Di mana I think around asset, sebagai contoh macam perumahan, hartanah, emas dan sebagainya. So dari segi itu kita tak perlu observe market dengan terperinci, because I think that's quite stable. Tapi a lot of people now, sebab you know they invest in what we call high volatility lah, di mana market a bit unpredictable. And this is when I think when people invest in crypto, foreign exchange, mata wang dan sebagainya, itu memang perlu kita monitor lebih terperinci, lebih dekat, so that kita punya pulangan tu ada. But every investment atau pelaburan, I think there's two component yang penting. Yang pertamanya is actually risk dan juga reward. I think itu kita kena faham. It's not a guarantee 100% bila kita melabur kita dapat pulangan, but there's an element of risiko dan juga pulangan. So conventional kita pernah dengar lah, high risk high return or high rewards, low risk low return. I think ada apa ni orang kata, ada kesinambungan between risk and rewards lah kat situ.
Okey, baik Dazrik, sebagai syarikat iaitu equity crowdfunding, pembiayaan equity, so your big task is you perlukan yakin kepada para pelabur untuk melabur. Yeah. Jadi based on your opinion, based on your experience, bagaimana sentimen pelabur sekarang? Adakah baik untuk melabur dalam startup anak-anak muda ni?
Secara amnya, I think it's progressing. It's continue to improve sebenarnya. I think masa this is backtrack a bit. I think kita punya equity crowdfunding ataupun biaya sama ataupun pendanaan awam orang panggil is what we consider as alternative financing dekat Malaysia lah, pembiayaan alternatif. Dan di sini ECF ataupun crowdfunding diselia oleh Security Commissions of Malaysia. Sentimen agak positif, especially pada tahun 2020 dengan 2021 hari itu.
Masa COVID.
Wow. Di mana take up rate sebenarnya berbanding tahun 2020 dan 2021 increase by 151%. So di sini we see
full capacity
and more.
And
di sini I think this is where I think ada dua value proposition lah. Saya suka cakap yang pertama ni is actually dari segi business owner. So para usahawan yang traditionally dulunya nak ambil dana dari bank, institusi perbankan ataupun financial institution, dah maybe susah nak dapat bantuan pinjaman dan sebagainya. Mereka lihat crowdfunding ataupun pendanaan awam ni as an alternative financing. Itu yang pertama. Yang kedua dari segi investor ataupun pelabur, di sini yang Nina mention tadi, sentimen agak positif sebab sekarang apa yang kita lihat, banyak pelabur boleh diversify diorang punya portfolio of investment melalui crowdfunding. So banyak juga peluang-peluang untuk diversifikasi pelaburan dilakukan kepada startup-startup baru dan muda. Dan di sini ada peluang ataupun potensi lah. Sebagai contoh, kalau startup-startup sekarang ni baru mula, para pelabur invest awal, mana tahu 5, 6 ataupun 10 tahun nanti dia orang akan jadi unicorn. So para pelabur yang invest awal ni dapat pulangan yang lumayan. Di situ memberi a bit value proposition yang berlainan kepada kalau dulunya kalau kita nak buat simpanan atau pelaburan maybe just through ASB dan sebagainya. Which is okay. But for crowdfunding ni, we feel there's a diversification lah yang para umum.
More flexible,
but also more opportunities juga lah. Dan I think that's a good sentiment.
Daripada pandangan yang besar, kita dapat tengok Ukraine Rusia masih lagi berlangsung, dia punya peperangan. lepas tu peningkatan inflasi, peningkatan harga barang, lepas tu dengan prestasi mata wang yang naik turun. Jadi ini memberi kesan yang agak tinggi, terutama dalam kalangan anak-anak muda. Jadi, bagaimana mereka boleh tangani risiko ini? Jadi apakah ujian ataupun tersenario sedia ada untuk kita pastikan sustainability dan jaminan kepada para pelabur ini, khususnya ketika tempoh yang kegawatan ekonomi sekarang ni?
Itu soalan tu agak berat, tapi saya rasa quite important. Dilihat dari beberapa sudut pandangan lah. Tapi secara broadnya, tak kisah anda sebagai seorang individu, seorang policy makers dan sebagainya, I think secara globally we are going through, or rather we went through a transition phase. Banyak ekonomi, negara dan sebagainya are in the reset phase after pandemic. I would like to sort of position dari segi individu ataupun dari segi organisasi sebagainya, we should look into what I consider as regenerative economy lah. Apa yang dimaksudkan di situ, tak kisah dari segi scenario planning, dari segi, you know, the externalities yang tak boleh control, ada empat faktor yang kita patut ambil berat. Yang pertamanya dari segi ekonomi dan bisnes, seperti mana yang Nina mention tadi, sebab ada, you know, kegawatan ekonomi, inflasi dan sebagainya, itu mengambil aspek yang penting. Yang keduanya adalah dari segi social welfare ataupun social being. Kita tak nak kita punya B40 jadi B60, B70 dan sebagainya. And I think that is not fair. Even though kita nak jadi negara yang membangun, tapi kita perlu angkat
Berkasakan lagi anak-anak muda.
Anak-anak muda dan juga rakyat-rakyat jelata. Bukan just the T20s ataupun M40s. Itu penting sebab itu akan, seperti Nina mention tadi, kemampanan ekonomi negara itu amat penting. It's not just for the short term but also for the long term. Yang ketiga dan yang keempatnya, yang ketiganya is actually what we consider the ecology, ataupun I consider as the alam sekitar lah. Things around sustainability, environment, carbon capture dan sebagainya. I think there's a lot of talks around that. I think it's good, but it's just that we need to take more affirmative action lah when we speak about, you know, climate change. Sekarang kalau kita tahu pun banjir,
climate change, it affects really.
Yes. Then the fourth layer is actually what we call the modal insan lah, pembangunan modal insan ataupun spirituality. So the regenerative economy for me is actually having that four component, economy dan business. Itu yang pertamanya. Yang kedua is dari segi social welfare. Ketiganya adalah dari segi ekologi tadi, alam sekitar dan sebagainya. Dan keempatnya dari pembangunan modal insan atau spirituality. So, dari segi scenario planning, kalau kita ada empat faktor itu dipertimbangkan, tak kisahlah dari segi, you know, membangunkan dasar, dari segi budget sebagai contoh dan sebagainya, perlu ada pertimbangan terhadap empat-empat faktor tersebut. And I think that would help us to become robust.
We need to be balanced as well. Yes. Okay, talking about budget 2023 is very near. It's coming October ni. Jadi, your opinion, apa harapan you dan apa you nak daripada budget 2023 ni, apa untuk menggalakkan lagi pelaburan dalam kalangan anak-anak muda? Dan apa penambahbaikan yang boleh kita teliti dalam bajet 2023 berbanding bajet-bajet sebelum ni?
So I offer maybe dua pandangan yang a bit different level. Yang pertama ni dari segi tactical. Sebelum kita cakap pasal pelaburan ataupun simpanan dan sebagainya, I think it's very important for this budget to mood something around financial literacy. Sebab saya rasa bukan sebab golongan muda, tapi ada yang golongan-golongan yang lebih berumur so tak begitu celik kewangan. And this is quite important also because I think in Malaysia kita akan become a aging nation by 2030, right? And a lot of things yang sebagai saving sebagainya, you know, retirement dan sebagainya, saya rasa belum sampai tahap yang memuaskan, especially when we go into the aging population. So saya rasa dari segi akar umbi ada perlu kesedaran lebih terhadap celik kewangan ataupun financial literacy before kita cakap pasal, you know, investment, savings dan sebagainya. Itu yang pertama. Soalan Nina yang kedua tadi tu,
perbaikan boleh tak, improvement.
I think we need to think about not one-off ataupun short-term solutions budget. So what I mean by that is most of the time kalau before this, banyak budget-budget yang didraftkan adalah output based. So sebagai contoh, di mana you know, kita perlu lahirkan 5,000 usahawan, dan daripada 5,000 usahawan tu ada terdapat 5 ataupun 6 unicorns, right? Tapi what I think we should do a bit more tactical is actually value based. So daripada budget tu, betul kalau ada 5,000 usahawan tu, daripada 5,000 usahawan tu, berapa yang betul-betul berkualiti? Berapa yang betul-betul berkualiti yang kita boleh melabur, yang kita boleh expandkan, yang boleh kita pasarkan di global? I think that is a bit more important lah. And and I think that is for the long term. I'm also cognizant about maybe PRU15 is coming up. So I think we should avoid a popularist budget, but more so look into long term lah. So that's what I meant, you know, it's not just output based mata-mata, tapi think a bit ahead, foresight, jangka masa panjang. Industri mana yang kita nak bangunkan sebagai negara, sebagai, you know, negara part of the Southeast Asia, and di situ maybe we should you know, focus more on the budget lah.
Baik, perkongsian agak menarik Wan Dhasri yang merupakan juga Ketua Pegawai Eksekutif untuk ITIS Malaysia. Jadi seperti perbincangan ini menunjukkan bahawa setiap pelaburan memang punya risiko dia. Jadi ia begitu penting untuk anak-anak muda faham bagaimana untuk melabur dengan bijak dan faham apa risiko melabur. Dan ini segalanya akan kita rangkumkan dalam astrawani.com dan segala platform digital Astrawani, termasuk juga dengan aplikasi Astrawani. Kita akan bertemu lagi dalam segmen Borak Anak Muda. Sekian sahaja segmen Borak Anak Muda pada kali ini. Saya Nina Rozman, jumpa lagi. Bye.